Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship. My name is Mindy Roll, and I serve the village in contributions. And for the next 2 weeks, as your backup presider, as Pastor Melinda is on vacation. Serving with me tonight are Sam, our musician, Janelle and Wendell, and Angela, who will be leading us in worship. A few notes on tonight's service. There will be communion as part of tonight's service. Here at Holden Village, we trust that Christ is the host at the table, so regardless of your faith background, know that you are welcome to receive. During communion, right before, we'll give you some more specific instructions about how we receive, but for now, know that you are very welcome. Later in the service, we will have the Lord's Prayer. There are a couple versions of it. One is a contemporary translation of it, and one is the more traditional one. So when we come to that point, you are welcome to say it in whatever version you prefer, or if you have another version or another language, you are welcome to say it in that language as well. Tonight there will be an offering. It is going to hand-in-hand immigration service. If you happen to carry cash and would like to contribute, it will be coming around. If you're not carrying cash and you would like to give an offering, you can give that at registration and they can pass it along to the right spot. We will begin on page 2 of this book. Come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Peace to each family, peace to each child, peace to each woman, to each person, to each man.
Peace to each family, peace to each child.
Peace to the creatures, peace to the nations.
Peace in our hearts, peace in our world.
Come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Come to us from the heart of God.
Come to us from the garden of our beings.
Come to us from the center of this moment.
Come to us from the true depths of our soul.
Come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Our opening hymn is number 574, Here I Am, Lord. That's 574.
Thank you.
the Thanksgiving on the bottom of page 3. Great creating spirit, from whom all life comes forth, here we gather again with bread and with wine, seeking your presence, longing once more to be nourished, hungering for wholeness in our lives, for unity on earth, and for peace among the nations.
Here we gather with bread and with wine, but with more than bread and wine.
Here we gather with creation's elements all around us, with earth, air, fire, and water still expanding through the universe. With the glory of the sun, the whiteness of the moon, the glittering of heaven's lights off Owen waters.
Here we gather with bread and wine, but with more than bread and wine.
Here we gather with the firm fecundity of the earth, the growing and greening of trees, creatures of the day and night, birds of the air, all full of your glory, all bearers of your presence, all part of the great harmony that we long to touch and taste and become one with again.
Here we gather with bread and wine, but with more than bread and wine.
So with everything that we see and sense around us, with visible and invisible energies that pulse with life, we join our souls in the song that vibrates throughout the whole of creation. Holy, holy, holy God, your presence fills all things.
First reading comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy. This message, written from Paul to Timothy, is a personal message of encouragement. In the face of hardship and persecution, Timothy is reminded that his faith is a gift of God. He is encouraged to exercise that faith with the help of the Holy Spirit. Hear now the reading. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and the Christ, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. Rely on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. I am sure that God is able to guard until that day everything that I have entrusted to God. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending the sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may also eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, so much for morale. Team morale, corporate morale, discipleship morale, whatever you want to call it, Jesus is clearly no expert at it. If you have faith even the size of a teeny, 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 tiny seed, Jesus says, if you had even a smidgen of faith, a drop, a molecule, if you had just a tiny bit, disciples, what incredible things you could do. That's his response. Well, come on now, Jesus, let's be fair. You are talking to a group who has left family and friends, left job and tradition, left expectations and dreams, thrown their lot with a poor traveling carpenter, been subject to ridicule, will be subject to intense fear, will have their hearts ripped out of their chests, and many of whom will end up dying a painful death because of you. And you tell them their faith is minuscule? Not even the size of a mustard seed? Really? I'm not sure what Jesus is up to, but it's a funny way to motivate, isn't it? You see, I get the disciples. I understand their request. Increase our faith, they ask him. Well, that makes sense. If Jesus is going to ask them to perform feats of forgiveness, which he did in verse 4, to endure ridicule, to heal and teach and preach, to follow him even to death, I don't think the request for a touch more faith, just a little more, is unreasonable. It sounds, in fact, like the faithful thing to ask, the right thing. So why did Jesus respond like this? What is going on in this story? My family, Tom, Andrew, and Lyndon, and I moved to Holden in June of this past year for a year of adventure. This is not the first time my husband and I have lived at Holden, as we met on summer staff 10 years ago. Nor is this the only faith community I have lived in. I've spent 3 months on staff at Iona in Scotland, some time visiting Tozay in France and L'Arche in Tacoma and the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge. I've spent several years in more than one close-knit seminary community, and I've spent the last 9 years as the Lutheran campus pastor at Texas A&M, where a group of incredible, regularly changing students, faculty, and staff, and young adults took up the task of creating a community of grace in a place that gravitated the opposite. The thing about living in a close-knit community is how tangible the feel of grace can be. You know that. Whether you got here today or have been here for months or even years, There is nothing like being in a place committed to hospitality to remind you that grace isn't some mysterious theological concept, but a thing that can be touched and seen. The thunderous applause as you get off the bus. The smell of coffee and fresh baked bread as you enter the dining hall. The warmth and closeness of worship each night. The grandeur of the mountains and the changing leaves. The easiness of meaningful friendships that grow so easily here. But the thing about living in community is that sometimes that grace also feels like it has a hard edge to it. Some time ago, I was living in one of those tight-knit communities, new and uncertain, trying to find my place and my voice, which can often feel hard to do in community. I was brand new to this place when someone I didn't know well, in fact had just met, spoke to me in a way that left me reeling. Perhaps he was having a bad day, I'm not sure, but the bite of his words stung me deeply. If I weren't living in community, I would have responded in the way most natural to me. Distance myself, avoid interacting, build a little wall between us. Take my hurt feelings and go nurse them with some sympathetic friends who would share my outrage and tell me how right my hurt was and support my avoidance and perhaps offer a dirty look on my behalf. But as many of you know, that's not an option in community, at least not the healthy option. Not when you see each other each day, not when you work together and eat together and worship together and play together. Instead, I had to do some work, some hard work. I had to listen to why I was so hurt. I had to ask what my hurt stemmed from, if it was just about what this person said, or if it was part of an older pattern of hurt. I had to decide how to respond, if confrontation and accountability were appropriate, or if a different course were better. I had to choose the relationship over my own outrage. I had to choose staying emotionally present over the tendency of my own personality, with boundaries, of course. Living in community is hard. If you have spent longer amounts of time here or in another community or even in a relationship, you know that. Or if just arriving, you will know that. Someone will get under your skin this week. Living in community means that someone will hurt you and that you will hurt someone, perhaps unintentionally or maybe even intentionally. Someone may say something that you cannot believe they would possibly say, or someone may call you on something that you said with you not even knowing that your words were hurtful. And with it comes the invitation to walk away or to examine your own blind spots, to work through the hurt or to cut yourself off. Which, let me be clear, sometimes is necessary, at least for a season or perhaps for a longer time. Sometimes the stepping away is the best way to heal. And sometimes the cutting off is necessary for your own well-being. That's a whole other sermon, one that I don't want to minimize. But what I'm talking about is the smaller challenges of our life together. Grace indeed has a hard edge. Because growth in community is hard, good and necessary, but hard. My guess is that you have your own stories from your own communities about anger and words spoken too quickly, about apologies and granting forgiveness, about choosing not to forgive or not yet, about growth and about accountability, about personalities that just don't match no matter how hard you try. About pride and ego and avoidance and sorrow and grief and stepping on toes and all the things that come up when you choose to live closely. So what does this have to do with mustard seeds? Well, here's what I see. When the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, they were not asking that their faith would be deepened or complexified or nuanced or empowered or that they would have enough. They were asking for more. This comes right after Jesus told them to forgive 7 times a day, right after Jesus told them that it would be better for them to be drowned than to cause someone else to stumble, right after Jesus gave them hard words about discipleship. So of course they'd want more faith, wouldn't you? Because that's a lot of work. And perhaps if they had more faith, they could just rise above it. Perhaps more faith would be a shortcut around the hard stuff. Perhaps more faith would mean that they could be unaffected, or not feel so deeply, or have to grow so often. More faith would just make everything easier, better, less costly. But Jesus isn't interested in shortcuts. Jesus is interested in us. Jesus doesn't want us to be unaffected by the world. Jesus wants the hard edge of grace to shape us into actual disciples, those willing to have our hearts cut open by the pain of the world, to be forces of compassion and voices of justice. Because we can't pour out our lives in love if we can't be present. And we get to practice that here at Holden, in your own communities, or in your own relationships. There's no zen in Christian discipleship. There's no rising above. There's no perfect inner peace, no withdrawing from the world. There's no not caring, not in Jesus' book. Because grace is tangible, felt most closely when we choose to live closely, felt in thunderous applause and fresh-baked bread and strong coffee and good hugs. And because those will fail, it is also felt in bread and wine, in water, in the warmth of candlelight, in a hand shaking yours, in the blessing of peace. Here is where we know grace. Here is where we get to practice it. Because what we do here, the forgiveness, the growth, the challenge, the learning to stay present, those will shape us into a people whose voice can be sustained for justice and equality and peace and kindness, even when the world doesn't get it. What we learn here, we become out there. So may the hard edge of grace continue to shape us into a people of love. Amen. Amen. We continue with number 720. We are called 720. Heaven and earth are full of your glory, O God. Your presence fills all things. Yet what have we done?
Creation marred by neglect and abuse.
Life forms torn forever out of the fabric of the universe.
Nature ravaged.
Wealth wasted.
Earth's community divided.
Nations at war.
Communities fractured.
Families broken.
The human soul sick and far from home.
Great creating spirit, hear our plea for mercy.
Hear our prayers for the earth.
God, who is rich in love, both forgives us and calls us. May you know both of these this night, in the words of forgiveness and in the sharing of peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with a sign of peace.
Thank you.
continue with the memory of Jesus on the bottom of page 6. Into our brokenness came the memory of wholeness.
Into our fear came the messenger of love.
Christ born among us.
One with us.
Child of heaven.
Son of womankind.
Bearer of forgiveness.
Healer of our nature.
Teacher of wisdom.
Prophet of peace.
Rejected by the religious.
Crucified by the saved.
Companion of our soul.
Lover of the earth.
With his disciples at table on the night of his arrest, Jesus blessed the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." With his disciples at table on the night of his arrest, Jesus blessed the wine and said, "This is my lifeblood poured out for you." Come upon us with your spirit, O God, and upon this bread of the earth.
May it feed our longings for peace.
Come upon us with your spirit, O God, and upon this cup of unity.
May it set us free to love.
And as Jesus taught us, we pray. Ground of all being, mother of life, father of the universe,
may we know your presence here, seeking your will upon earth. Grant all your creatures food for today and strength for our families. Pardon our falseness as we forgive those who are untrue to us. Do not forsake us in our need, but lead us to new birth. For the glory of life and the light of life are yours forever. Amen.
The gifts of heaven for the people of earth. The bread of life.
Amen. Amen.
The cup of blessing.
Amen.
We invite forward our communion servers. And as they come forward, I'll offer a word about how we do communion at Holden. So starting on this end is gluten-free bread. And then I will be next with regular bread. And then next we will have a cup that you can drink out of or you can dip your bread into. And then next we have small cups. So if you'd rather have an individual cup, you can take this. Then first one is wine. The second one is grape juice. You can put your cup here and then you can return to your seat. We don't do this in any particular order. Exactly. We don't do this in any particular order at Holden. So come when you are ready and you can return to your seat for prayer or song whenever you'd like. So come, for all is now ready.
Darkness falls, we gather here.
page 10, Prayer to the Spirit. Great creating spirit, you swept over the depths of the unknown to give birth to creation in all its splendor.
Great creating spirit, who conceived new life in the womb of Mary to give birth to the child of peace.
Great creating spirit, who hovers over the waters of the human soul today to give birth to healings and visions that have never been before.
Come
to us as nations of the world.
Grant us wholeness.
Grant us healing.
Grant us together a new language that we may be one.
Go in peace, to love and to serve.
Thanks be to God.